This is Bruin Radio, a weekly student show from Brookings Harbor High School on the Wild Rivers Coast. By tuning into our show, you're getting the latest news, interviews, music, poetry, and more from the outstanding Bruins of Brookings Harbor High School. We are happy to broadcast on KCIWLP in Brookings, Oregon on 100.7 FM.
This is Bruin News with Natalie Garcia and
Dane Tipman.
Senior pranks, in which the senior class of high schoolers play practical jokes on school staff and administration, are generally considered to be a time-honored tradition of those set to graduate at the end of the school year, just as revered as events such as Senior Skip Day. Usually, these pranks are relatively harmless, and everyone is able to laugh at them. However, there are times when a prank can go too far. Last Monday was the beginning of what was meant to be a week-long succession of senior pranks, with one occurring each day. Those that organized the pranks were concerned about the possible reactions to them, and therefore got them approved by the Brookings Harbor High School Administration. The administration then emailed BHHS teachers and staff in order to make sure everyone was aware of what was happening. The first prank that was planned to be executed on Monday morning centered around the movie The Purge, which is set in a dystopian future in which crime is nearly eradicated, by legalizing all illegal behavior for one day each year. What was supposed to occur was moments after morning announcements at the beginning of third period concluded, most of the high school's lights were supposed to go out, and the message signifying crime was now legal for a period of 24 hours from The Purge would play over the PA system, followed by some creepy music and sound effects. Unfortunately, two main factors prevented this from being nothing more than a bit of excitement to start off an otherwise mundane Monday morning, and instead caused it to be a rather frightening experience for some students. The primary issues were that not every teacher had read the email about the prank, which meant they weren't quite sure what was happening at the time. And, when the music and sound effects started to play, students in the hall took the prank one step further by running through the halls and slamming classroom doors, which according to some, inadvertently sounded like gunshots. This caused several students to suffer panic attacks and startled several teachers as well. However, not all students and staffs had negative experiences, with some classes having a lot of fun with the event. Regardless, the school administration deeply regretted the way the prank turned out, and revoked their consent to the following pranks throughout the week, which apparently were supposed to be more tame than Monday's Purge prank.
I wanted to ask Natalie Garcia here about the events of this week. We've had quite a lot happen. Tell me, what do you remember about what happened here on Monday?
On Monday, around third period after break, there was the senior prank, which they set up all the they shut all the doors and they turned off the lights in the main hallway, and like some of the seniors started banging on the doors, and apparently, although I didn't see it, there were some people in masks that popped their heads in the windows of the doors.
What else happened on Monday?
That's all I can remember.
How did kids react?
Well, some of them thought it was kind of lame, others thought it was kind of cool, others were kind of anxious about the whole ideal, and I'm pretty sure the teachers were really angry about it.
How did you know that? How do you know the teachers are angry?
I heard that Miss Soberon was, like, screaming at the kids in the hallway, asking them, like, why are you doing this? Stop.
Yikes. The reaction to that, I think... That what happened to senior pranks after the Monday event?
You mean like what happened afterwards?
Right. What was the consequence?
Oh, afterwards, the next day, Principal Dion announced during the announcements that she was very sorry for the prank and that it was like her fault.
Now, she didn't run the prank. She wasn't the one like banging on doors, right? So why did she apologize?
She apologized because she was the one that allowed it to happen, but and she wasn't. She allowed it to happen, but she didn't expect it to be this chaotic.
What do you know about last year's senior prank?
Last year's? From what I've heard, that the seniors trashed the school and then everybody had to clean it up.
Yeah.
Well, the administration.
Those of us who came here had to clean it up, yeah. It was not pleasant. So I think the idea was that, okay, if we kind of know what it is, then we can make sure it's not just destructive or just trashing the school. What happened on Wednesday morning?
Well, I wasn't here Wednesday morning.
Oh, did you hear what happened?
No.
With the doggies?
No.
Oh, you didn't hear that? So there was a senior prank on, I think, Wednesday, maybe Thursday, where some of the senior students brought their dogs to school in the morning. So they had dogs in the hallways, on leashes, obviously, but they had their dogs in the school, which unless your animal is an authorized companion that's trained, like to help with a disability, you're not supposed to have your dog on campus. So that was their senior prank then.
Yeah.
And then something happened on Thursday near the end of the day. What do you know about what happened Thursday?
What happened Thursday, there were a couple rumors going out that there was a note in the boys' bathroom that someone was going to shoot up the school.
Mm-hmm. What else do you know?
I know that the person that had written it was saying it as a joke, and then just people added on to it as a joke, and it just kind of escalated.
The Brookings Harbor School District did release an official message, which can be found at the time of this recording on the school district website, and we're going to read it here. The top line of the message reads, "Alert, threat investigated." I'm going to read the first paragraph for you. "This is to inform you that the alleged rumor of a shooting threat at Brookings Harbor High School tomorrow, Friday, May 18th, was investigated and is false.
After investigation by Brookings Harbor School District, administration and local police, it was determined that there was no real threat.
Students reacted appropriately in reporting the concern to school administration, and another student admitted that the threat was part of a joke between friends.
This email is to reassure our school community that all policies and safeguards are in place and are being followed."
Now, another factor of today, Friday, is that it was senior skip day. So a lot of our seniors didn't come, and I think we had some absences of students who went home and told their parents about this letter and then didn't want to come to school today.
Yeah.
I don't have the official numbers in front of me, but I think the general consensus among teachers who I visited during the day was that some students just plain didn't come to school. What did you see in your classes today, though?
A lot of my classes were sparse. There weren't a lot of people in my art class. There was only about four people.
Wow.
And I've heard that there were like three in one class.
And why? What did you hear about why that is?
Well, I think some people had just decided to use senior skip day as a excuse to like skip as well.
Mm-hmm.
And as for the shooting threat, mm-hmm. either some people also use it as an excuse or their parents didn't let them come.
Mm. I mean, parents would have heard about this through their kids. I don't know if there's anything going out on Facebook, but I know the school district had this message up about the rumor being false pretty quickly after the rumor was starting to spread out. But not every parent looks at the school district website.
Yeah, I didn't hear about it until today.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the school should do about senior pranks next year?
They should run it up with Principal Dion and whoever the next principal is going to be. And they should make sure that it's not going to be as dramatic and chaotic as it was this year.
Why do you say who the next principal is going to be?
Well, because Mr. Merritt is leaving.
Oh, you mean next vice principal is going to be?
Yeah.
Right. Mrs. Dion is the principal. So the seniors, the prankers, did kind of run this up with her.
They did, yeah.
And it still didn't turn out super great.
Yeah.
But is that the nature of a prank? I mean, isn't a prank supposed to be kind of dramatic and
as long as it doesn't harm anyone or harm the school,
mm-hmm.
then I think it should be okay. As long as it's for laughs and not for
mm-hmm.
for harm or anything.
Did this prank harm anybody?
Not that I know of.
Did the dogs harm anybody?
No, they were absolute angels.
Mm-hmm. How about this letter, though, this prank letter?
This letter?
Yes.
Well,
that's maybe getting the close, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, folks, you heard it here on Bruin News.
In election news, the seat of Curry County Commissioner was up for grabs in a three-way race between Christopher Pash, Jerry Lynn Thompson, and Jan Barbas. Andre Bay's name was also on the ballot, however, he previously announced he dropped out of the race weeks before the election. The final results were Pash leading with 46.24% of the votes, Thompson in second place with 27.5% of the vote, and Barbas coming in third with 21.3% of the vote. Andre Bay received 4.36% of votes casted. While Christopher Pash did win the majority of the votes by a wide margin, he did not reach the 50% of ballots required by Oregon voting law in order to run unopposed in November. He will face Jerry Lynn Thompson in a runoff election this November. The city tax on gasoline retailers in order to fund road construction and repair was reinstated by the citizens of Brookings with overwhelming support. 82% of voters cast their ballots in favor of the 4-cent per gallon tax, which has been in place since 2012.
Well, this is Bruin Radio. You've got Dane Tittman and McLean Westbrook out here. We heard some music outside of our classroom. We wanted to come check out what was going on. Mr. Westbrook, tell me, what do you see?
I see many students. It looks like they could be middle school students. It seems they are playing instruments. There are several classes. I see Mr. Fulton over there.
We've got Mr. Courtnage from the middle school. We also have a substitute teacher over there observing these students, playing some music for us. And, of course, just some students observing. We also have some high school kids nearby, giving them some applause. Tell me what you see over there. So hold on to this and then tell me what you're looking at.
Seems in, It seems parked in front of the high school, there are several fire trucks and police officers. They seem to be leading some type of procession down the street.
Those are the track kids, Mr. Westbrook.
Ah.
The track kids.
Oh, what we are witnessing is a send-off of the track athletes as they ride the bus off to districts or state. I'm not sure which. I'll say both so you can edit in whichever is appropriate. What were you watching? A send-off of track athletes to state.
We saw it. It happened.
Obviously, that's what all this excitement is about. You're hearing it live. Not live, but you're hearing it here on Bruin Radio.
Yeah.
Like you were there.
Yeah.
The Brookings Harbor High School robotics team completed its elections of officers for next year. Current year seniors voted, even though they will be graduating, with the understanding that their knowledge and skill puts them in a position to vote in a strong and effective officer. Here are the results.
Nathaniel Barnard won the position of captain, Ethan Warner earned co-captain, and Annie Nation is the secretary, and McKenna Davis Overly is the treasurer.
Congratulations, officers of Brookings Harbor High School robotics team 4110.
Four Azalea Middle School students and three elementary school students are heading up to Curry County Spelling Bee next week. These students competed against many others in their schools. For the middle school, the first place winner was Abigail Justman.
Second place went to Rivers Oakley. For third place, there was a tie between Tristan Coulter and Allison Dodds. In the elementary school, Aiden Connolly took first, Lily Walker took second, and Audrey Blindmeyer took third.
To celebrate these students, we Bruin Radio reporters will now participate in a Bruin Radio Spelling Bee.
Oh, here it goes. This is a spelling bee. So I'm going to give you, Ms. Garcia, some words to spell. How do you do with your spelling? Is your spelling good?
I'm in honors English, but I can't.
You ready?
See.
Okay. So spell the word impossible.
Impossible. I-M-P-O-S-I-B-L-E.
Okay. Spell the word receive.
Receive. R-E-C-E-I-V-E.
Ooh, okay. Spell the word homonym.
H-O-M-O-Y-N-M.
Ooh, you sure about that? Homonym. Like two words that sound like each other, I think, is what homonym means.
H-O-N-O-Y-N.
It's H-O-M-O. Homo. So homonym.
Okay.
Okay. Spell claustrophobia.
C-L-A-U-S-T-R-O-P. P-H-O-B-I-A.
Ooh, that was intense. All right, now this isn't just one way. You got to give me some words now.
Oh, okay. All right, Mr. Tipman.
I'm ready.
Spell juxtaposition.
Ooh, whoa, you're coming right out the gate. Juxtaposition. Could I hear it in a sentence, please? Ooh, ooh. All right, I got it. I got juxtaposition. Juxtaposition. J-U-X-T-A-P-O-S-I-T-I-O-N. Juxtaposition.
You did it.
Okay.
All right. Oh, how about...
you can't see it, folks, but she's hiding the Chromebook from me, so I can't see what word she's typing.
All right, spell quixotic.
Quixotic. Oh, that's an easy one. It's like Don Quixote. Quixotic, though, is Q-U-I-X-O-T-I-C.
Yep. All right. Can you spell extravagant?
I can. E-X-T-R-A-V-A-G-A-N-T. Extravagant.
Can you spell anonymous? Hold on.
Anonymous. I know the word.
No,
oh.
No, it's not the one I'm thinking about.
Anonymity, maybe? Anonymize?
Wait, why can't I say this? Anomaly.
Oh, yeah, I can do anomaly. A-N-O-M-A-L-Y. Anomaly. That's an okay. Easy one. Anomalous, as in like the adjective form, is A-N-O-M-A-L-O-U-S. Anomalous.
That's nice. Should I do one more?
Yeah, give me one more. Give me a toughie.
Hold on. I have to make sure this is an actual word and not in my head. Can you spell
egregious?
Egregious.
A-G-G-R-E-G-I-O-U-S. Egregious.
Yes. Good job.
Thank you. Egregious is a good one. So that was the Bruin Radio Spelling Bee. Folks out there, if you want to participate in the Bruin Radio Spelling Bee, email me with words that you want us to try and spell. If we spelled anything wrong during the spelling bee, angrily email us and complain about the state of public education. I got nothing. Do you got anything else to add to that?
Seniors, many of you have not signed up for the graduation walking order. Please stop by the guidance office with your walking partner and sign up today.
There's a scholarship reception taking place this week. That's going to be on Wednesday starting at 6 p.m. So if you're hearing this show on or before Wednesday at 6 p.m., you still have the chance to go. This event is to celebrate students who are earning scholarships. They'll actually be receiving certain local scholarships as well. Folks, make sure you head down to the Brookings Harbor High School cafeteria to receive these scholarships. And Ms. Garcia, I understand you yourself have won a scholarship or two in your time. Is that right?
I have won one scholarship.
One scholarship. Tell us about it.
I entered the Vision Arts Show it was a couple months ago. I don't remember the exact date.
Is it the Coos Bay Art Museum?
Yeah, in the Coos Bay Art Museum.
Or CAM.
I won Best in Show, and SWOC, Southern Western Community College, gave me a $10,000 scholarship, and the museum gave me $250 for the piece.
That's pretty cool stuff.
Thanks.
Do you have any advice for young artists who want to seek out art scholarships themselves?
If you want to seek out any scholarships, I suggest that you just give it all your heart when you're sculpting and just go for it. You should just, if you try, there's always a chance that you'll be able to get a scholarship.
Well said. The Safe and Sober graduation party is coming up soon on Saturday, June 9th at 10 p.m. This all-night event keeps the kids in until 5 a.m. the next day, Sunday.
At the party, students will be able to enjoy a special all-night occasion which includes games, a DJ, a rebel bar hosted by Dutch Bros, and every senior will get a prize if they attend the entire night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dane Tipman. I am here with special guest Jacob Rocha Lewis. Mr. Rocha Lewis, thank you for accepting our invitation to come on our show. We wanted a chance to talk to you a little bit about the article in the Curry Coastal Pilot and to ask you about your own views. Briefly, could you tell us a little bit about who you are in our community?
I'm just a kid that moved here 4 years ago at the beginning of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I came up here with my mom and my stepdad to take care of my stepdad's parents, and just ended up sticking around for a little bit.
Where did you move from, if I may ask?
I moved from Pismo Beach, California.
How would you describe differences between living there and living here in Brookings?
Much smaller here.
Much smaller?
Okay. Much smaller. I lived in what was called the Five Cities area. Okay. So while each town was relatively small in size, the fact that they were all very close together allowed for us to have quite a few amenities that we don't have here in Brookings. We had a lot more shopping, a lot more options when it came to bigger retail stores and that sort of thing.
What grade were you in when you left the Five Cities area?
I left after my eighth grade year. I moved here 2 days before freshman orientation.
How would you describe some of the differences in schooling between here and there?
The schooling I felt was much more rigorous down south. The only reason I would say that is because I did go to a private school for most of my schooling down there.
Tell me a little more about this private school.
It was a private Christian school.
Okay.
CCS, Coastal Christian School, is a great place to grow up in. I had a lifelong friends that I met there, and it was just an all-around great place.
The Curry Coastal pilot article by Boyd Allen was published in late April, and it portrays you as being pro-life. Do you agree with this portrayal?
I very much agree with that portrayal, yes.
What does pro-life mean to you?
Pro-life means that I respect and appreciate all life, especially the unborn and the women that are giving birth to those children. That's not something that's often connected with the term off the cuff. But for me personally, I had a mom who gave birth to me at 18. She had a very rough couple years, especially during her pregnancy and then afterwards that she was raising me. And she didn't get enough support. She didn't get as much support as she needed or deserved when she was pregnant with me as a young girl. And that's one of the things that I am very passionate about, is that young girls that get pregnant, they don't get as much support or love as they need to be able to raise a child and to see other options besides abortion sometimes.
What do you think is the cause for them not receiving that kind of love, as you put it?
I think a lot of it, I will get some flack for this, but I think a lot of it is some hypocrisy in the church, the Christian church.
Okay.
We say that we love all, yet we tend to judge those who don't practice abstinence until marriage. And while it is morally considered wrong within the church as a whole, we still need to, as Christ said, love those as we ourselves wish to be loved. You know, we can't just immediately look down upon them because they made a mistake.
When you say we, are you referring to any particular denomination?
No.
Okay. Well, to go back to the article a little bit more, too, tell me how you first heard about this walkout event on the 11th of April.
I first heard about it through my mom. She's very engrossed in the circles that would be labeled as pro-life. She tried to run an Embrace Grace group for a while, which is a...
Tell me about Embrace Grace.
It's, if you've heard of the Pregnancy Care Center in town, it's kind of like that, but more on a case-to-case basis. It's a home-run group, specifically focusing on giving young pregnant girls that support that they need during their pregnancy, and just being able to be there, talk to them, raise money in case they need any kind of funding for clothes and diapers and things like that.
And then how did that lead to you hearing about the walkout? You said she was very involved, very engrossed in that community.
She's very engrossed in that community, as am I and the rest of our family. And so just seeing it on social media and just hearing about it through acquaintances that I knew in those circles.
And what's the name of the walkout? What was it called?
I don't know if it really had a name. It was just called the Pro-Life Walkout.
Okay. You mentioned in the article that some other students wanted to attend. If you had to estimate, how many other students wanted to attend?
I'd estimate the ones I talked to, about four. I don't know how many didn't know about it and wanted to attend. But I did talk to a few people who said that if they hadn't had important things in their classes, that they couldn't miss, or things of that nature, that they would have been there.
What time of day was the walkout?
It was at 10 o'clock.
And which period was that during?
That was, it started during break and extended into third period.
What was your third period class?
College psychology.
Tell me what happened when you got to college psychology after the end of the walkout.
Mr. Scott asked me what I was doing, and I told him, and it wasn't really talked about much after that.
Okay.
Mr. Scott and I had previously talked about the oratory contest that I was in, that has to do with pro-life. And
tell me about that oratory contest briefly.
So that was a contest that was actually, it wasn't just oratory, there was also a writing section and an art section, but the purpose was to defend the pro-life position in a way that didn't bring in many moral or religious values into it. So it was using a scientific standpoint to prove your case.
Okay. The article reports you're interested in creating a Students for Life club. Is that true?
Yes, this is true.
Tell us about Students for Life.
Students for Life is a group that is trying to get more students in high schools and in colleges knowledge and information about the differences between pro-life and pro-choice groups, and be able to, if students do want to defend the pro-life position, train them how to do that and give them more information that they will be able to use in the future.
Has the high school ever had a club like this before?
I do not believe this high school has ever had a club like this before.
What steps are you taking to create such a club?
I've already talked to the AD, Bill Gonzalez, and he has approved the club. I just need to set an actual first meeting date.
Who's your teacher advisor?
My teacher advisor is Mr. Darren Daly.
And where are you guys going to meet?
I believe we're going to meet in the library. I talked to him about using his classroom, but he holds lunch detention in there. So I think the library will be the best bet.
Okay. If you were invited to participate in the Women's March, how would you respond?
I would be very grateful to be able to do that. That's not... Those two terms don't seem to go together as often as a lot of us in pro-life circles would like. Because while our main focus is protecting the unborn, you know, a gigantic part of that is also talking about women and their position in it. It is their baby, after all.
What do you think about the term pro-choice?
For me, the term pro-choice, it's never necessarily been mainly about the choice from what I've seen. It's defending abortion, and I personally disagree with that. I'm not saying that anyone who has participated or supports abortion is an awful person in any way. I personally just find something wrong with taking the life of an unborn child before they have a chance to choose for themselves.
What has the Brookings Harbor School District taught you about abortion in the 4 years you've been here with us?
Not much to my recollection. Not much at all. I haven't really learned much about it inside the school.
What about the school-based health clinic? What are their stances on abortion?
I went there for a physical one time, for a sports physical.
Sports physical.
Haven't been down there since. Didn't really see much on it to my recollection.
Okay.
But I only had been in there once and wasn't in there for much time.
What kinds of closing thoughts would you like to share with our listening community out there?
I would just like to say that my goal in this is not to alienate anyone or to anger anyone or to have anyone feel like I'm attacking who they are or their beliefs or their personal feelings on this subject. I just feel it is my obligation as someone who believes firmly in something to share my position on it.
All right, everyone, this was Mr. Jacob Rocho Lewis, a senior student here at the Brookings Harbor High School. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
And that's it for this week's Bruin News.
You've just heard Bruin Radio, a half-hour student-focused program brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School. To view the credits for this episode, visit kciw.org/credits.
You're listening to KCIW LP in beautiful Brookings, Oregon, 100.7 FM, radio of, by, and for the community.